The Psalm 13 then, let us turn again to Psalm 13. And I want to draw your attention this evening to the verse 6, the last verse. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Dealing bountifully is our subject tonight. Dealing bountifully. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. In this psalm, things have been turned about for David. The psalm goes from mourning to singing. David's mourning has turned to rejoicing. And in verse 6, David has reached the height. He is on the mountaintop now. He feels like singing. He says, I will sing unto the Lord. And why? Why does he feel like singing? He tells us why. Because the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. That's the reason. And that's what I want to think about with you this evening. This verb, dealt bountifully, I want to think about with you. That verb describes the Lord's loving kindness, the Lord's goodness. So we want just to think about that verb in regard to the Lord. So we're doing a word study tonight. We're just looking at this verb, dealing bountifully, and we're just thinking about it. Because this is a beautiful verb. This beautifully describes the Lord's loving kindness. This wonderfully sets forth just the kind of Savior our Savior is. You know, all Hebrew words are very picturesque. We can say every Hebrew word is pregnant with instruction and with great meaning. And this verb is no exception. Dealing bountifully. That's the kind of God we have. He deals bountifully. And that's why we feel like singing. The verb occurs about 37 times in the Old Testament. And we want to look at some places where it occurs and we'll try to get some image of how beautiful a verb it is. In Psalm 116 and the verse 7, David uses it there also. And he says these words in Psalm 116 and the verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. So Psalm 13 isn't the only time David uses it. You hear Psalm 116, he's using it as well. Verse 7, he's pleading with his own soul. Do you see how he's exhorting himself? He says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. You've been wandering about. You need to get back to your rest in the Lord. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. So he's exhorting himself. Sometimes we have to exhort ourselves. And David's exhorting himself, and he's using this as a great argument to get back to your rest, to get back to the best place that you could possibly get back to get back to a rest-giving Savior. And what's the argument? For he's the one who deals bountifully. He's the one, the only one who deals bountifully with thee. I've been in other places and I've been among other people, but I need to get back to my rest because the Lord really is the only one who deals bountifully with thee. So soul, get back to the Lord. He's the one who deals bountifully. So David loves this verb. David uses this verb to describe the goodness and the loving kindness and the wonderful greatness of his Savior. I need to get back there. He's the one who deals bountifully. I never found that among the world. But the Lord deals bountifully. An interesting use of it also occurs in Psalm 119. The Psalm 119 and the verse 17. We have another interesting use of it here. It's the start of the third paragraph. It's the first word. Now you'll notice that every verse begins in the third paragraph with gemel, the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet. You have the word there above verse 17, gemel. That's the name of the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's called that. And each verse begins with that letter in the verses 17 through to 24. And when the psalmist thinks about this letter, and he's thinking about words to put at the start of each verse, what's the first word that comes into his mind? It's deal bountifully, because it begins with this letter. In fact, it has the same consonants as the way that letter spelt, the G, the M, and the L. Only the consonants change, so it's gemal. Deal bountifully, gemal. That's the word that comes to his mind when he thinks of this letter G. It's in his heart, it's in his mind. He loves this verb. He associates this verb with his Lord. He doesn't associate it with anybody on earth. He associates it with his Lord. It's the first word the psalmist thinks of when he thinks of the letter gemel. Deal bountifully with thy servant. And so we could say it's a favorite word with the psalmist. It's his favorite way of looking at the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord is the one who deals bountifully with me. I desire that. And so he prays that. Lord, deal bountifully with thy servant. He says, without that, I would feel dead. Without that, I don't feel alive. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Lord, I don't think I could keep your word unless you deal bountifully with me. Lord, I don't feel alive. I don't feel quickened. I just feel that I'm dead unless you deal bountifully with me. We need a God who deals bountifully with us to quicken us and to make us love the word and to keep the word. And he's a God that does that. And we have to ask him to do that. Lord, deal bountifully with me. Deal bountifully with me, Lord, that I may live, that I might be quickened and have this revived spiritual life. We all need it, brethren and sisters. And bless God, in Jesus Christ, we have it. There's nothing more sure and there's nothing more real than the bountiful dealings of Jesus Christ towards his believing people. We have a Savior who's glad to answer this prayer. He will answer it for you, brother or sister. He'll hear your prayer if you're praying about this. If this is what you desire, a Savior who deals bountifully with you. So pray it. He does deal bountifully with us, doesn't he? For a start, he died for our sins. It can't get any better than that. It can't reach any higher than that. That was how he dealt bountifully with us. He came into the world. He bore our sin. Wait, what way does the apostle put it? He says, the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. You can't get any higher than that. He dealt bountifully. He dealt bountifully with me. That's the word there as it's translated by our translators here in these three places, deal bountifully. But as I said, it's a very rich verb. It's pregnant with meaning. And our translators know that. And so they haven't always translated it deal bountifully. There are other ways that they translate it too, because they feel the richness of this verb, and I want to show that to you tonight. This is a verb that describes our God. It's rich. It's full. Let's look at some other ways that it's translated. At a very basic general level, first of all, it means to do good. To do good. Our translators translate it this way in the book of Proverbs. For example, in Proverbs chapter 11 and the verse 17, you have the verb there. But you'll see that the word deal bountifully isn't there. They haven't translated it deal bountifully. They have translated do good. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Now, the merciful man, he does good to his own soul. How does he do good to his own soul? By doing good to others. He's merciful to others. And because he's merciful to others, he benefits his own soul. But the cruel man, he does bad to others, and he does malice to others, and he really harms himself when he does that. So it's not directly doing good to ourselves, but it's doing good to others, and as a result of that, we benefit. And this is the merciful man. The merciful man, what kind of a man is a merciful man? He's a man who does bountifully. He's a man who does good. He's a man who's kind. He's a man who has pity. He's a man who comes over and would help. He's a good Samaritan who comes over and helps a man who's half dead. Not like the other ones who walk past. He does good. He's a merciful man. That's an expression that shows you how this verb is applied to a merciful man. A merciful man, only a merciful man can deal bountifully. Only a merciful man has a kind heart. Only a merciful man feels pity and acts on pity and couldn't ignore and couldn't pass by the situation and couldn't just be cold and callous and indifferent. No, a merciful man has to act, has to do good, has to deal bountifully. And you'll not get a better way to describe our Lord Jesus. He's really the good Samaritan. He's full of pity. He's a merciful one. He remembered us in our low estate, didn't he? In our low estate, we were in the dunghill. He could have went past. He could have ignored us. But no, he's a merciful man. He's a merciful man who must deal bountifully. That's the kind of him. He does good. He remembered us in our low estate. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a merciful man. That's the way this verb is. Even when we were yet without strength, when we were helpless and hopeless, Christ died for our sins, the Bible says. That's the kind of our Savior, the merciful man that doeth good. And so you see here, it's pictured by the merciful man. That's a good picture of our God. Merciful, doing good. It also describes the deeds in Proverbs of a good wife. You know the chapter about the good wife. It's found, of course, at the end of the book, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 and the verse 12. She will do him good. That's the same verb, you see. She will deal bountifully with him. She'll do him good and not evil. Every day of her life. There'll not be a day in this good wife's life where she would ever do her husband bad. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable that a wife would do a husband bad. It's unthinkable that a faithful spouse, as it were, would do anything unkind, anything malicious, anything bad or naughty to her husband. It's just unthinkable. A good wife could only deal bountifully with her husband, could only deal kindly, could only do good. And so, the Lord's like that. He's a spouse. Now, we know that it's the same for the husband. The husband will do the wife good too, all his days. And the Lord, of course, he takes the position of a spouse to his bride. And we have a spouse here doing good to the other spouse, dealing bountifully. That's just the way it is in a loving marriage relationship. Anything else is unthinkable. And it's so with the Lord. It's just unthinkable that he would be an unfaithful spouse. It's just unthinkable that he would do anything bad to us. Why would he do that? He's married to us. He loves us. He bought us his bride. He redeemed us with his blood. Why would he do anything naughty? Why would he do anything unfaithful or anything bad? It's just unthinkable. The Lord wouldn't do it. This is a verb. This is a verb that David uses. A merciful man. a loving, faithful spouse is the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And so that's on a very general, basic level, one who does good. But on another shade of meaning, secondly then, another shade of meaning in the verb is reward, or requite, or recompense. Sometimes the verb is actually used with the noun reward. Dealing bountifully with reward, with recompense. And so we could say, if we're using the verb in regard to the Lord has recompensed me. The Lord has rewarded me. The Lord is one who pays back for services rendered. We use the expression, have to be very careful how we use it, but sometimes we use the expression, the Lord is not no debtor to any man. He recompenses for all services. He rewards diligently for faithfulness. And so it has this word, this idea of reward or requite. And so Moses uses it in that way in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord? Is that how you pay back the Lord, Israel? You foolish people and unwise, is not he thy father that have bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And is that how you deal bountifully with the Lord? Who bought you? Who loved you? Who keeps you? Who established you? Is that how you deal bountifully with him? Is that how you reward him? Is that how you pay him back? Is that how you requite him? And brethren and sisters, of course, we have to deal bountifully with the Lord too. It's not just the Lord dealing bountifully with us. We have to deal bountifully with the Lord. And do we requite the Lord, deal bountifully with him in that regard? Is that how we pay him back? As foolish, as unwise, and ungrateful and unthankful? And so you see how this verb is used in that regard, of paying back. After all he has done for us, is that how we would pay him back? Do you thus requite him? Do you thus deal bountifully with him? And so David uses it also in this sense of reward. Psalm 18, not too far from our text. Psalm 18 and the verse 20. The same verb. The Lord rewarded me. That's the same deal bountifully. Well, why did the translators not say the Lord dealt bountifully with me? Because there is this according to word. According to my righteousness. Not talking about the Lord's goodness and his big heart. Then he may have used deal bountifully. But there's this according to my righteousness, and so the translators have to come in with another word, and they have to use this pregnant verb, and they have to think about, now, how are we going to bring out of this pregnant verb the right word? And they come up with it. The Lord rewarded me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. He's rewarded me because I walked right. I did right in that situation. And he rewarded me. I had to suffer for it, for doing right. But he rewarded me. I didn't get any thanks from those that I did right to and right about. But the Lord did. The Lord saw that I was doing right. Even whatever the cost was among men, the Lord saw that I was doing right. I was doing according to my righteousness. And my hands are clean in the whole situation. And the Lord knows it. And he's rewarded me. He's dealt bountifully with me because of it. He's recompensed me. You see, brethren and sisters, the Lord acknowledges service. He does. And the Lord rewards sacrifice. And there are times when he deals bountifully because of our service for him. Yes, I'm not talking about salvation. It's grace, isn't it, that saves us. But he makes us his servants. Grace makes us his servants. And the Lord is pleased in his grace to see our service and to just acknowledge it. Now, he doesn't have to do it because we're unprofitable servants and it's all worth very little, really, at the end of the day. But he's just pleased
He sees sincerity. He sees a genuineness. And he's just pleased to reward it. He's just pleased to recompense it and to deal bountifully with a good man of God, with an honest man, with a God-fearing man. He's just glad. He's just pleased to condescend to. It's not merit. Well, no, it's not merit. But he just condescends in grace to acknowledge sincerity and genuineness in his people. So yes, the Lord rewards. The Bible teaches that. The Lord rewards. He deals bountifully according to your service, according to your labor, and according to your patience. Doesn't the Bible say he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him? If you diligently seek the Lord, he'll deal bountifully with you. There's no doubt about it. If you diligently seek the Lord and have a big heart for him and are seeking God, he'll have a big heart for you and he'll deal bountifully with you. He'll recompense you. He's a rewarder of them that... Now, diligently you have to do it. Diligently seek him, but he sees that diligence. That's the thing. You remember how the Lord Jesus Christ told us in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. So the almsgiver, you know, he's not flashing all around all his giving, but, you know, he does it quietly, he does it secretly. The Lord sees it. Lord sees it. And he openly rewards us. That's the thing. You know, oh, the Lord's blessing him. Oh, why is the Lord blessing him? I don't know why the Lord's blessing him so much, but maybe the reason is he's just a big generous heart. He's not tight and mean-fisted. You know, the Lord doesn't deal bountifully with mean-fisted men and women. But the people of God should have a big heart, a generous heart. And when the Lord sees that, a big generous heart, he will deal bountifully with us, reward us even openly. Remember how Paul said, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there's the scripture that teaches the Lord rewards us according to our labor. And so this idea of reward and recompense. What way does the apostle to the Hebrews say it? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord's not unrighteous to forget that. He rewards. So the Lord, you see the verb? You see how our translators see the pregnancy of it all? He's a merciful man who does good. That's our God. A merciful Savior. He's a faithful, loving spouse who would never do us bad. Just all the time doing us good. Seeing to our needs. The way a faithful spouse does. And he's a kind and generous judge of the things and of the situation. And he's a rewarder of his people. And so when he comes back again, his reward is with him. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And here's some crowns and some cities and all of that. But then the verb also is used of nursing mothers. Because it is used in relation to a mother and her child. It's used to illustrate a mother's cherishing, nursing, provision for their little infants. Their helpless little infants. So this verb, whenever it's used of children, in relation to their mothers, is frequently translated wean. Wean. That's how it sometimes is translated. A mother loves and cherishes her little infant until it's weaned. And it'll guard that child. It'll nurse that child. It'll protect that child. It'll have always that child always about it, clinging to the shoulder and clinging to the breast. It's always there, that child, nursed and cared for and cherished
until it's weaned. That's what God does to his children. He is always looking after them, always guarding them, always cherishing them, always, as it were, keeping them to himself, not exposing them unnecessarily until they reach the stature of the fullness of a man. And so there is interesting uses of it in that regard. Psalm 131 and the verse 2. The psalmist says, "Surely I have behaved myself and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child." It occurs twice here. Deal bountifully. This verb, deal bountifully. But our translators have in this sense here, in the grammar here, in this regard, and they've used the word weaned. David is so content. Here's contentment. What a wonderful picture of contentment. He's behaved and he's a quiet man and he's a content man. He's not contemptuous and he's not difficult and he's not just boisterous and naughty. No, he's satisfied. He's a happy man. He's a quiet man. He's just content, just going through life. So content. What a wonderful picture of a man who's in Jesus Christ, just resting in the Lord. And he uses this illustration of how he's so content and why he's so content. "I'm just as a child," he says, "that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child, cared for all my days, cared for every day until I could get off the milk and get onto the solid food. I'm just so happy." You know, it's beautiful to watch children grow and see content children. They've stopped the feeding, boys, but they still love lying on their mother's shoulder. And they're just content. They're weaned now. Oh, but they're happy. And they love their mother. And David says, "That's me. Because my God has nursed me. And he's cherished me. And he's kept me. I've known his warmth. I've known his wing around me. I've known him lying on his bosom. I've lay on his bosom. I know it. And I'm content. Man can do what he likes to me. I'm content. I'm happy." And so, this is the verb. David's so content because he's a child that has been bountifully dealt with by a mother. And the Lord is like that. A nursing mother. Loving, cherishing, protecting, feeding, bringing to maturity. Patiently, kindly, and wisely rearing that helpless infant. And the Lord protects us and shelters us and feeds us. You know, one common biblical image is of God as a mother bird. Every time you read about that wing, that's the image of a mother bird. That's the image of a nursing mother, protecting mother bird. You remember how Jesus said to Jerusalem, "How often I'd have brought you under my wing. I'd been a protective nursing mother to you. I'd have protected you and I'd have sheltered you and defended you. Under my wing I would have put you." But you would not. You wouldn't. And so you have the imagery in this in the Bible all the time. And this verb is bringing that out. The nursing mother. The protective mother. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And the psalmist, not too far away, Psalm 17 and verse 8, he says, "Keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing." Under the shadow of thy wings. And sometimes in the scripture we have verses like this. I know I'm racing through these things, but I must do so. Isaiah 49 verse 15 for a start. "Can a woman forget her sucking child?" You know, is that going to happen? You know, you just lie over there. Don't worry. I'm not worrying about weaning you. You know, is it going to happen?
It's impossible. Can a woman forget her sucking child? But yes, yes, it may happen.
I mean, there are some really sinful mothers, some really negligent mothers, especially if they're on the drink or on the drugs or things like that, and the devil's got a hold of their lives. It can happen. And sadly, it does happen, even in this fallen earth. Yes, a mother may forget her sucking child. You remember that woman who lay on her child and cursed her to death in the time of Solomon? Just careless and regardless. Yes, even a mother may forget. But what does the Lord say? Yet I'll not forget. I'll not lie on you and curse you. I'll not forget that you need sucked and sheltered and protected. I'm the one who deals bountifully with you. I don't neglect you. I'm not a neglecting heavenly father. You know, the Lord has dealt bountifully. It's worth singing about. It's worth singing about. The Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. And you remember Isaiah 66, as the prophecy is coming to an end, the verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord doesn't just say, I'll comfort you. I mean, that's a proposition. That's just words. And they're true words and they're faithful words. But the Lord just doesn't want to give us propositions. He likes to give us nice wee pictures and little illustrations. And he says, as a mother comforteth. And you can think about that. And you can meditate on that. And you say, oh, the Lord's so wonderful. The Lord's so wonderful. He's loving. He just doesn't do it with a cold heart, this protection. No, it's as a mother comforts. So you see why we should be singing, brethren and sisters. This is our God. This is our Savior. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the one that we trust in. And so I feel like singing because he's dealt bountifully with me. So that's why the psalmist has a God who's treating him like this, a merciful Savior, a loving spouse, a kind and a generous judge who rewards him for his service, and a gentle, loving Heavenly Father who is capable of showing maternal kindness. Yes. I will sing because he's my God. He's my Savior. And so we should be singing, brethren and sisters, with plenty to sing about. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the one who loves us and who bought us with his blood. There's nothing should stop us singing about him. There's no wicked man or no devil or nothing that we should face should ever stop us singing about this Savior. I'll sing. He's dealt bountifully with me. Oh, thou my soul was sung tonight, didn't we? Oh, thou my soul, bless God the Lord. Why? Because he's all his benefits. He's dealt bountifully with me. But there's one more picture. It's used to describe the ripening of fruit. The ripening of fruit. Now that comes mainly through warmth. Now I haven't got any verses noted down about this. There's a couple of references. I just forget now where they are. But there are a couple of references where the verb is translated ripen or ripening or yielding. Almonds. But it's the ripe fruit, and it's yielded, and now the fruit's ready. Just like a weaned child's ready. It can go away from the warmth now, and away from the breast now, because it's ripe, it's weaned. And that's used of fruit, it's ready. It's ripened. And how is fruit ripened? Well, we know how it's ripened. It comes about mainly through warmth. And where do you get the warmth from? The sun. It gives a warmth and ripens the fruit. And just like a mother, as it were, warms her and cherishes to her breast, her child until weaned, so the sun warms the fruit until it's ripe. Because fruit's like that. It needs to be warmed. And the sun, as I said, does that. And the Lord God is a sun and a shield to his people. He's going to ripen us because we're branches that are to bring forth fruit.
and he's going to ripen us, and he's going to make us productive, and he gives us the warmth that we need. He gives us the sun and the shelter, whatever. This ripening us, dealing bountifully with us for glory. He knows what light and heat we need. He knows when we need to be brought into the shade. Too much sun, and he's our shield too. He's our sun and our shield. He just knows what we need. Because he's a husbandman. He's a gardener. She supposed him to be the gardener. She wasn't wrong. The Lord Jesus is a gardener. He's a gardener of our souls. He died for his garden. He died to make a beautiful garden. And when he rose from the dead, that's what he was. He was the gardener. He was the gardener, the light of the world, who's going to ripen his people, ripen his fruit, and he's going to deal bountifully with them until they are ripe. It's the gardener, the heavenly gardener, deals bountifully with his garden. See, the gardener loves his garden, doesn't he? You who are gardeners, you know all about that. You spend time in the garden, you spend money in the garden, you do all the effort. Not everybody has that love and that ability and that know-how, but the Lord loves his garden, and he has all the ability and all the knowledge and all the tools and everything else, and he deals bountifully with every plant and every tree. He brings the water, he brings, as it were, the shade, or he brings the fertilizer. He just sees to everything. My Father is a husbandman. He wants you to bring forth much fruit. And so this is another verb that's describing that. We're as it were, the fruit on the vine. And we are dear lilies to him in the garden, and precious plants and of his planting. And he loves us, and he just will be a faithful gardener until we're ripe. And then when we're ripe, what will he do? He'll take us to glory. Take us up into the Father's house to be a beautiful plant in glory in his house. So this is how David felt. This is how he felt the Lord had dealt with him. And brethren and sisters, the Lord loves you. And he deals bountifully with you. In all of these images and all of these pictures, he's merciful, he's gentle, he's like a father, like a nursing mother. He's a merciful man, he's protective. He's a wonderful spouse. He's a rewarder, a righteous judge who if you serve him, he's not mean and tight to you. No, he just rewards service and sincerity and integrity and consistency. He just blesses it. He's a heavenly Father. He's a son of righteousness, dealing bountifully with us so that our fruit, so that we're ripening, a husbandman cherishing us as every plant. How good is the Lord? This is all the imagery. And this, you see what I mean when I say the Hebrew words are pregnant. And so whenever evil things happen to us, how do we interpret those? Because there are things in our life that aren't pleasant at times. And we sometimes wonder, well, why does the Lord allow that? And the answer is that the Lord knows best. Sometimes the plant has to be taken into the shade. The plant maybe says, oh, I like the sun. I want to be out there in the sun. But, you know, little plant, it's just too much light at this time. And so the husbandman knows best. And so he maybe brings us into the shade. Or maybe he has to cut away at things. Oh, the wee plant says, well, why am I being purged? Why am I losing those leaves? Why are they being pulled away? And the little plant doesn't know. It's for your good, and for your growth, and for your benefit. What does the Bible say about this bountiful, loving God of ours? All things work together for the good of those who are his called. All things. Even the things that look nasty and bad, and maybe we even call them evil things, but they're all in his plan. And the psalmist is realizing this. All these questions. How long, Lord? Why do you forget me? Why is your face hidden from me? Just, you know, he's going on and on. But he's figured it out. I will sing. Because he's dealing bountifully with me. Even in the fire. Even in the trial. He's dealing bountifully with you. He's making you more fruitful. He's making you more to shine. He's making you more humble. He's making you more like his Son, Jesus Christ. A ripe fruit, a precious plant, a weaned child. He knows best. And so the Lord deals bountifully with us. Sing then, brethren and sisters. Sing. Dealing bountifully. And that's the way we have to deal with the Lord too, isn't it? We have to deal bountifully with him. Let's pray then.